Stu Jackson, the former NBA head coach, general manager, now with NBA TV, joins us on telephone. How are you, Stu?
Well, I'm doing pretty good, Bob. How are you doing?
Good, pal. Quite an interesting weekend. Did you see Carmelo to the Thunder as a likelihood?
I didn't see that coming. I'm not sure anyone really did. I mean, after the fact, it makes a little bit of sense. I mean, initially we thought that, and I think Carmelo has stated, that he would have waived his no-trade clause to go to a place like Cleveland or Houston or possibly even Portland. And OKC didn't really seem to be on the radar. But certainly with the moves, you know, of Paul George going there, the fact that Russell Westbrook was already there, two of Carmelo's ex-U.S. national team teammates and friends, and you add to the fact that Oklahoma City's assistant general manager, Troy Weaver, actually coached Carmelo at Syracuse University when he was a collegiate player.
Oh, yeah.
And it sounds like things fell into place.
So the question that I have is a question that that we often ask when you get a group of players together who have a reputation and all of a sudden become teammates is Oklahoma City cannot play with two basketballs. They only get to play with one at a time. And you have at least two guys who like to have it in their hands and like to finish it off. And maybe even three, you could make the argument loosely, depending on George's situation. Does this fit make sense to you?
Well, it's a very interesting question and a good one. The only defense I will make in the case of Carmelo Anthony is that, in my opinion and observation, Carmelo Anthony has played his best basketball when he's had really good players around him. And again, I reference back to, you know, the United States World Cup and Olympic teams, where watching Carmelo Anthony play with good players around him, he's a different player and has proven that he can play that way. And the way that he plays is, you know, when he does receive the basketball, his plays end quickly. It's one, two dribbles or a pull-up jump shot, or you can post them up. It's a quick move, and then the play's over, versus the way that he's had to play when he's leading his team, like the Knicks, that didn't have as talented of players, where he held on to the ball, he pounded the basketball, went long into possessions. When I've seen Carmelo play with other good players, that's not the way he plays. So if he can translate that to the Oklahoma City Thunder, I think the Thunder really have themselves a good find.
I mean, obviously there's a lot going on in the Western Conference, and the Thunder wanted to keep up. Do you think part of this might have been an indication to Paul George, who everybody thinks is going to the Lakers eventually, to say, well, hang on a second, we're going to surround you with good players here. Maybe you want to stay here rather than continue on to L.A. when his contract expires?
Certainly I feel that the Oklahoma City Thunder are reacting somewhat that way. But don't forget, guys, Russell Westbrook is sitting there with this large contract, max contract, that, you know, he hadn't signed. So I think it's an effort to try to get a collection of players together, an effort to show them all that the Oklahoma City Thunder are A, committed to winning, B, committed to trying to win a championship, and C, they'll spend money to do it. I mean, right now Oklahoma City has one of the top six level salaries of any team in the NBA in a small market. That is significant. And all it does is make the statement to all three of those players that they're serious about winning and trying to keep them.
Can you assess at this point what the Knicks got back? Did they get any kind of reasonable value? Usually when a star player goes, they don't tend to get a value. They get futures and maybes and draft picks. How do you think the Knicks did in this deal?
Yeah, I think you're alluding to my answer with your question. I'm not really sure that they got enough, and this deal for them, to me, speaks of a franchise that wanted to rid themselves of a player before he became a distraction going into training camp this week. And I think that's what the Knicks did. I think if they had it to do all over again with more time and not having Carmelo Anthony's leverage or their leverage compromised by wanting to move Carmelo Anthony, perhaps they would have gotten more, because what they got back was two very good players in Doug McDermott and Enes Kanter, and, you know, a high second-round pick. To me, it's not quite enough, because I think two things. I think, one, it's not athletic enough for today's NBA to put on the court with somebody like Kristaps Porzingis. And secondly, to your point, if you're going to get draft picks, you know, at least get a first-round draft pick. And if you're not going to get a first-round draft pick, maybe perhaps in the deal they could have gotten Oklahoma City's 2017 a first-round draft pick, Ferguson from Australia. Mm. I think he's from Australia. Mm. And, you know, who's a very athletic player. And that, then you start to get to a point where I think you're starting to get value for a player like Carmelo Anthony, albeit that he's on the downside of his career.
I'm more interested in how Westbrook reacts to this. I mean, you know, when Durant was there, Westbrook was more of a facilitator. Durant leaves, Westbrook looks around and says, well, there's nothing else here. Either I'm going to do it or nobody's going to do it. And he did it. Credit to him. But there is a tendency in that kind of situation, Stu, to say, oh, well, Westbrook is a selfish player who wants the ball in his hands and wants to finish, and he's interested in his own numbers more than he is in wins and losses. And that may have validity or it may not. What do you think Westbrook becomes now with two significant offensive players added to the arsenal in Oak City? Does he become more of a facilitator? Does he revert to, well, more of the kind of player he was when Durant was there?
I think what he becomes, I mean, but first we have to understand, this is Russell Westbrook's team. I think that understanding is owned by both Carmelo and Paul George. This is his team. But it depends on the way that you want to look at it. Russell Westbrook, to me, I think will look at it as, look, this is going to get me more rest. It's going to keep me fresher. I'm going to be a much more effective player in even shorter minutes. And, you know, not being fearful that, you know, the Thunder won't have scoring on the floor. So it gives Billy Donovan, the coach, far more options. But this is his team. I don't think he's going to change the way that he plays. And let's not forget, he still averaged double-figure assists last year in the association. And I don't think that'll change either.
It's funny, on the weekend, there were so many other things going on. And then you had the Anthony trade sort of quietly go by. And then you have Dwayne Wade, who spends $8 million of his own money, I believe, to get out of a contract. Mm-hmm. And now he can choose where he wants to go. Before we talk about that decision, who, in your mind, Stu, would be more likely to be a higher-impact player at this point in their career, Carmelo Anthony or Dwayne Wade?
Oh, that's a fair question. You know, I'd have to say probably Carmelo Anthony, a little bit younger, albeit, as I mentioned, he's on the downside of his career. But it depends what role that they're in. Mm. I happen to believe that both of them should be in the same role. And that is the role of just being someone who either comes off the bench or whose role is just simply to score coming off the bench. And, you know, I know that sounds a little odd saying that about Carmelo, but that may be an effective role for him. I think definitely for Dwayne Wade at this point in his career, that's what his role should be.
Him going to Cleveland makes some sense because, of course, it would reunite him with LeBron, his former teammate in Miami. Is it too crowded in Cleveland for Dwayne Wade? Is there room there for him to, I don't know whether he starts, but maybe get significant minutes in Cleveland? I guess there is, huh?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I operate from the premise, guys, and you see this in all sports at all levels. When you have great players, or players that used to be great future Hall of Famers in their sport, even if they're on the downside of the career, there's nothing they haven't seen. And they aren't going to last this long without being smart, intelligent, and good teammates. They figure it out. It may take time. You know, maybe it's a month into the season. Maybe it's 2 months. But eventually, your really good players figure out how to be productive so that they can do what's most important to them at that point in their career, and that is to win.
But Wade is an off-the-bench guy now, isn't he?
I believe so. Yeah. You know, and I just said, yeah, I mean, I really believe so. And, you know, to the degree that he'll accept that, and I do think that he will. I mean, Dwayne Wade is one of the all-time characters, solid characters in the NBA. I think he does come off the bench.
Why was the fit so bad in Chicago that he would want to use so much of his own money to buy his way out of it?
Well, at this point in his career, I have to think, I haven't spoken to Dwayne Wade, but I have to think he doesn't want to be a part of a franchise that's trying to rebuild with young players. And this year, the Chicago Bulls certainly are not, I don't think, a team that will compete for a championship. And for Dwayne Wade, what else is left mm-hmm. in a career other than to compete for a championship year in and year out? Couldn't do that in Chicago, wants to do that somewhere else, and I think it's probably, you know, in his best interest. You know, I don't think he needs the money. I mean, he probably has his lunch money from the third grade, but, you know, so I just think that that's not important. What was more important, he go to a situation he can win.
Let me throw one more at you, Stu. We saw what happened this weekend in the National Football League in response to Trump's ridiculous message. The NBA... training camps are opening, and although there's a short preseason, we're going to get to the regular season in not too long. What do you think the chances are that NBA players offer some sort of response to what is going on between Trump and the NFL guys?
I think the chances are high. I think very high. Because at the end of the day, when you look at the history of the NBA in terms of its own social consciousness and social responsibility, you can make the argument that they've really led the way, you know, for all professional sports, you know, over the last 10 years. And, you know, it's something that has continued to grow. I think a lot of players that come into the NBA right now are very conscious of the world around them, and are very community-minded people, and have a sense of right and wrong and a sense of decency. And they're going to push back, you know, in a nonviolent way and use their platform positively to try to influence change. So all that being said, I think the chances are high that somehow they each, either individually, collectively as a team, respond in some manner. I have no doubt about it.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you, but it would be, again, intriguing to see how this thing plays out both in the National Football League and in the NBA as a collective over the next the coming weeks. Stu, it's always our pleasure having you on. Thank you very much.
Hey, thanks. Thanks, guys.